When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where as the Lakers skimped out on and or got played by Dan Hurley, as the Boston Celtics are about to reach legal championship age, as the Lakers and the basketball world sadly lost NBA legend, the logo, Jerry West this past week, rest in peace, the OG GOAT, as all of this is happening, we're all here less than 2 weeks out from the 2024 NBA draft, wondering what direction this currently coachless, currently LeBronless team is going to take this offseason. So welcome to the darkest timeline. Nay, welcome to the red-dickus timeline. Maybe. I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and today I'm once again joined by salary cap expert Yazi Goslin as we dive into the 2024 free agency market from the Lakers' standpoint. First off, I'd be remiss if I didn't spend some time just wishing the West family and the basketball world in general their proper condolences in the wake of Jerry West's passing. Jerry West was a brilliant, insightful, and at times maniacal man who was cut from the same cloth as Kobe Bryant. He was OG Mamba mentality before Mamba mentality became a thing. He was a man who helped guide, mentor, and spur on some of the NBA's most legendary players, coaches, scouts, and everything in between. If much of your identity as a fan has been tied to the Lakers, Kobe Bryant, or basketball in general, then Jerry West had a profound impact on your life, whether you realize it or not, even beyond just him being the logo on your basketball jerseys. It's unfortunate that at the end of the day, him and the Lakers were never able to truly mend their relationship with one another, but in a strange way, Kobe's passing may have actually helped bridge that gap a bit and may have been the closest thing to an olive branch connecting the two parties that we'll ever see. Regardless, Jerry West is a Lakers legend and we all owe him a ton. So rest in peace, Jerry West. Go hit that sweet mid-range pull-up jumper in Kobe's face once you get to heaven and remind him who the true OG was. Legends never die, and neither will you. All right, moving on to the next phase of this episode. As a reminder, folks, if you can, please take the time out to appreciate the off-season podcast work that we've been doing by giving us a 5-star rating and review on the Apple Podcast app, or by visiting our page on Spotify and hitting that 5-star dial at the top. You can also support us on Patreon, patreon.com/TheLakersLegacyPodcast, and get early listens and some other exclusive content there periodically for as little as a buck. These little acts of support mean a lot, and they all add up at the end of the day towards simply helping us keep this labor of love of a show running well into our 8th or 9th season. It's crazy that we've been around for that long. So anyways, with all of that out of the way, as we continue to impatiently wait for the Lakers to finally announce JJ Redick as their next head coach, let's dive into some 2024 NBA free agency talk with salary cap expert Yazi Goslin. All right, so welcome to our part two conversation with salary cap guru Yazi Goslin. In today's episode, we shall be diving into all things 2024 NBA free agency. If you didn't catch our part one conversation with Yazi, where we talked about all of the salary cap minutiae of the new CBA for this upcoming year, as well as some trade logistics, make sure to check that out in our last episode. For this part two, let's get into the free agency market from the Lakers' point of view. Yazi, welcome back. If you had to describe this free agency market as an American restaurant in terms of quality, what would you describe it as? Are we looking at an Applebee's, a Chili's sort of free agency class, or more like an IHOP?
I mean, I guess the former. You know, you go to an Applebee's, are you going to be wowed? Not really, but it gets the job done.
Some people may like IHOP. So it's not as bad as an IHOP, or if you're from the East Coast, not as bad as a Waffle House, but on par with Applebee's. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I think that's pretty good. That's a pretty good analogy, yeah.
Okay. So with that said, let's go through some potential free agents in this market. I want to do a rapid fire with you first and talk about free agents who aren't yet officially free agents. So I'm talking about guys with player options, guys who have team options with their club, or guys who are potentially restricted free agents. So I'm going to throw out a name and ask you, is this player opting in or not? Is their team picking up their option or not? And you tell me yes or no. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, Jalen Smith, he has a player option. Is he opting into that, or is he going to test the market?
I think if I were him, I think there should be offers for around that amount. That's the tax pyramid level. And if I'm him, I think I probably want a better opportunity elsewhere.
So even if it's at like $5 million, you think he'll opt out just so that he's not buried behind Isaiah Jackson, Miles Turner, all those guys?
It's just in that Indiana's backup center rotation is so situational. I would understand if he wants a little more stability.
Yeah, that's perfect, Yazi, because Jalen Smith is one of my targets, and I hope that the Lakers can nab him. Do you think he'll go for that taxpayer, Emily, or do you think he could even maybe command even more, a portion of the non-taxpayer, Emily?
He could command a little more, but I don't think that much more. I don't think he's, he's got a lot more improvement to make. But as of now, based on what he's shown, I just can't imagine there's so many teams out there willing to pay much more than what he's already making.
Sure. Yeah. And as far as the Lakers are concerned, I mean, I think they could use a 19-minute backup big who's energetic, is a lob threat, can rebound a little, and also space the floor a little behind Anthony Davis. What I'm looking for is motor and energy, and I think that's what Jalen Smith can do in a backup role. Some of these next ones, let's look at, these are very softball ones, but O'Shea Brissett of the Celtics, do you think he's just opting into his player option?
I haven't paid too much attention to him this season. It's hard to keep track of these, the outside top eight guys on Boston. Mm-hmm. He's a guy I like though a lot. I really like that signing for the Celtics when it happened. If I'm him, I'm sure there's a minimum deal elsewhere at the very least. So I think I'd probably opt out.
What about Josh Okogie of the Suns?
I would say there probably is still a minimum deal out there. So, you know, I guess it's just a matter of, is there a better situation out there? You might get more minutes. If there isn't, then stay in Phoenix. But I'm not sure he's making more than the minimum if he gets signed elsewhere. Mm. So it's just about opportunity with him, I think.
Cool. What about Torrey Craig? He has a $5 million player option.
Torrey Craig, he's making more than the minimum, right? Making the minimum, yeah. If I'm him, I opt out. I think he's worth more than the minimum. I don't know if he gets offered more than the minimum, but if I'm a team like the Lakers, who most likely has a taxpayer, and I've got really like literally nothing else to spend it on, I would not mind dipping a little more into it for him.
Oh, okay, yeah, his player option. Sorry, I mistook that. It was $5 million for his 2-year deal, but he is making the minimum next year if he opts in. What about Caleb Martin? I think he has a $6 million player option. He's probably definitely opting out, right?
He's opting out. He's probably I think among the Heat, you know, media and just whole circle, I think there's an understanding that there's a very good chance he's not going to come back because he's going to opt out, probably get offers for at least a full mid-level. And I feel like as far as his evaluation, he's kind of similar to Rui, like 3 for 50.
Ooh.
But I don't think the Heat are the team giving him that, and there probably isn't a cap space team offering him that either.
Gotcha. So more like the non-taxpayer Emily, probably?
Yeah. Or he could get a little more in a sign and trade.
So he's definitely out of the Lakers' price range, and given the Lakers' track record with Heat guards, they probably don't want to sign him anyways, even if they could. Yeah. What about his teammate, Kevin Love?
Kevin Love. I think he's a minimum guy from here on out. He's been good. If I'm another team, I just don't have an appetite to spend more on him than the minimum.
For sure. What about Eric Gordon of the Suns?
Eric Gordon, he's definitely worth more than the minimum. So if I'm him, I opt out for sure. You can get a little bit more with the Suns. He's for sure got minimum offers. I think there's probably teams willing to outbid the Suns for sure, like taxpayer plus.
Mm-hmm. The Lakers should not be one of those teams. I just wanted to put that out there, but Eric Gordon will opt out. Let's move on to the team option, guys. At the top here is Bruce Brown. Do you think the Raptors will pick up his option if for nothing else than to just trade him? But I believe they would have to do so between now and like 6/29, right?
Yeah, so it's already being reported that they plan on picking him up specifically to trade him. I kind of disagree. I think because if you pick him up, he's making $23 million.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of money still, even though for 1 year, like it's requiring a lot from another team to make a trade work just to bring in Bruce.
Yes,
I would say decline him. Try to get an agreement, you know, before declining him on like a 2 year deal. What if you can get him to for like 2 for 34, something like that? Kind of do what the Lakers did with KCP. They gave him that first year that back in 2017 that was super high. Then they gave him something a little lower on a 2 year deal. Try to get him on something a little smaller. Make it easier for a team to trade for him. Otherwise, I might be wrong, but I don't think you're going to get a ton back for him if you on that salary.
Yeah, unless a team just loves them some Bruce Brown. But I agree with you because if.
Not even the Lakers would trade for, like, would do something like that. That's too much.
Yeah, for the Lakers, in order to salary match $23 million, they have to put Rui, like, JHS, and, like, another dude on top of, like, maybe the Raptors want the 17th pick, right? Because presumably they're opting into Bruce Brown so they can get assets back. And I think, yeah, that would be way too much. So it'll be interesting to see what, if they can get something for Bruce Brown, it would almost have to be no draft assets. It's like they're getting whoever the other team is willing to give them just a salary match, right? I guess Kyle Kuzma is a name that they were thinking about. But again, they in that scenario, the Raptors would be the ones giving up the draft asset, right? And just using Bruce Brown as the salary ballast who's expiring, and then the Wizards would give them Kyle Kuzma. So moving on, what about Evan Fournier of the Detroit Pistons team option?
That's definitely like, that's declined for sure. The only thing I could think of is maybe they, because they can have like 45-ish million while keeping him. So unless they have a trade lined up, you know, if you're Evan Fournier, you're hoping that then there's a trade lined up that requires that 19 mil.
Yeah, you never know with the Pistons, even though I believe they have a new GM, right? Maybe they want to start competing or something. So Evan Fournier for like a win now player, they trade him off. Who knows?
I really want to know what they plan on doing this summer. I'm very curious because I can't really talk about them in my videos and it's just so unclear what they plan on doing.
I feel like they're so embarrassed from last year that they probably want to go the Houston Rockets route, right? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
They can, like, really at the very least get to high 20s, low 30s wins just by a coaching change. I think this team is really not that bad, and So if you do this coaching change and then you bring in some like actual good veterans, you could maybe flirt with kind of like Houston, just flirt with the plan.
Sure. Them and their new free agent signing, Tobias Harris. Good luck to the Detroit Pistons. Moving on. What about Jock Landale's team option with the Houston Rockets? He'd be interesting if he were let out into the free agent market.
So the whole deal with the Jeff Green, Jock Landale contracts are for trade purposes. But even if they don't find any trade that requires those salaries, I still think they keep those guys. So the only reason they'd get waived is one, if one of them's left over and the payroll just got too high from other trades that they got to save some money. And then two, if they get traded to a crappy team and the team just doesn't need the guy, okay, then just cut him.
What about his teammate, Jayshon Tate? Because this is a guy that I'm interested in for the Lakers if he were let out onto the free agent market. They have a club option on him for like $7 million. He's supremely buried. Even if they wanted to keep him, I feel like he doesn't want to be there because of opportunity. But yeah, what about your thoughts on Jayshon Tate? Same deal?
I think that... So on one hand, the rotation seems to have passed them by with their starters, and Amen and Cam Whitmore playing already pretty well. Tari Eason, like they already have like a top eight that when fully healthy, Jayshon doesn't really factor into the rotation anymore. And maybe they make a trade that could either make it worse or maybe make it better for him if they lose some of that depth. But either way, I think that's still a great number for Jayshon Tate. You keep him anyways. I don't think they're definitely not going to just let him go.
Darn it. Okay. Too bad.
If he's let go, there'd be so many teams trying to get him ASAP.
Yeah, Jayshon Tate is like underrated at this point just because he's buried on the rotation and the bench. But like this guy's 28 years old. He's a bully ball defender who rebounds. He's got motor. He'd be perfect on the Lakers. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the Rockets will let him off that deal. What about these two guys from OKC? Isaiah Joe has a club option and so does Andrew Wiggins. At some point, I feel like every season, the Oklahoma City Thunder always have and always end up dealing with some sort of roster crunch. When are they going to let go of Andrew Wiggins so that the Lakers can sign him?
These two exact players last year. I remember.
I did. I'm waiting.
No, I mean, okay, so here's another plug, guys. Watch my Thunder video because I talk about how I think there's a good chance not only do they either look to keep and extend these guys, maybe they decline those options and give them a raise now on a new deal because they have all this money, like they have so much, they could use cap space, decline those guys, and then re-sign them to higher deals.
So they've shown enough, especially what they did in the playoffs, for the Thunder to just keep them long term.
Yeah, and especially Joe, he's going to make a good amount of money, so I think there's a very strong chance that they decline him his $2.2 million team option, and then they make him a restricted free agent. They spend their $30 million or so in cap space, and then they can resign him to something that just a much higher amount. Like even if the first year salary is like the max, I think starts at like around $14 million, I would give him that because he could potentially get more the following season, and then maybe you could structure where it's declining, something like that. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that you're giving him the big raise this year, you're gonna get a lot of concessions on the long term that can make it easier to keep him when the team starts to get extremely expensive in a couple of years.
All right. Well, I'm going to let go of the dream, the Isaiah Joe and Andrew Wiggins dream, unless they don't do it. And then next year, Yazi, we're going to have this conversation again and see where they end up. The last group in this potential free agents tier would be the restricted free agents. What are your thoughts on James Wiseman? Do you think the Detroit Pistons will rescind their qualifying offer on him and let him loose on the free agent market?
Yeah, his biggest supporter, Troy Weaver, is gone. So that qualifying offer is not coming.
What do you think is his market? And what do you think about the Lakers? Because James Wiseman feels like a Lakers sort of gamble that they will take using their taxpayer MLE, because usually with that taxpayer MLE or one of their exceptions, they tend to go young upside who has some sort of pedigree behind them.
I mean, I haven't looked into his market at all. I haven't really looked. I don't really know why any team would invest more than the minimum on him. Like the Lakers getting Jackson Hayes, that's like a pretty similar situation, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna take a shot on him, like just for him, he needs to find the best opportunity. And you know, if that means taking the minimum, then so be it.
Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so if the Lakers want to take a gamble, they may not even have to give up the taxpayer MLE. That would be interesting. What about Precious Achiuwa? Do you think, I mean, obviously a lot of this depends on what the Knicks do with Isaiah Hartenstein, but are they rescinding their qualifying offer for Precious, especially if they do re-sign Isaiah Hartenstein?
So I don't know. Let me see what that qualifying offer is. I'm sure it's not very big. What is it? 6.3 million. I think they make him restricted, give him that qualifying offer, but I think he's going to get more. I think he's looking at the room at level starting at 8 mil. I'm sure, like, if I'm another team needing a high end backup center, I have that room at level, I would strongly considering offering that.
Gotcha. Okay, so out of the Lakers' price range, obviously. And again, I bring all this up. We mentioned this in the previous episode, but the Lakers may not even have the taxpayer mid-level to use, but we're going to work under the assumption that they do. This next tier of guys, Pat Williams, Isaac Okoro, Sadiq Bey, and Obi Toppin, would you lump them all together with regards to their teams likely won't rescind their qualifying offer? And even if they do, those guys are young enough and still have enough potential to probably make the non-taxpayer MLE?
I think Okoro, I could see him getting offers for the full mid-level exception or close to it.
Okay.
I think Sadiq Bey might be looking at that as well. So maybe Atlanta tries to get him back at something just above it, which is still kind of it's a good rate on their end. Just sucks considering the injury he just had. Patrick Williams, I think he's probably going to get offers maybe around the $10 million range a year. I feel like there's a lot of teams that still want to take a shot on him, and his position scarcity and skill set can afford a team to make a bigger investment on that if they got nothing else better to do with their mid-level exception. Who was the other guy?
Obi. Did we do Obi Toppin? Yeah.
I think he's going to make the most money out of that group, because I think there's going to be plenty of teams trying to get it for their mid-level. So hopefully the Pacers, and I talked about in my Pacers video, they can try to re-sign him at slightly higher than that. If, let's say you can get him at like around 15, 16 million a year, that's a good contract. If there are offers starting to get closer to 18, 20 million a year, doesn't really make sense for Indiana because he's a third big. In that case, he could become a sign and trade candidate, but you know, then also not really sensible for the Lakers to sign and trade for him. First cap, first apron issues aside, also a lot of money for a third big.
Yeah. So all that to say, all of these guys are out of the Lakers' price range, right? With the taxpayer MLE. Usually the Lakers try and take advantage of that market inefficiency with regards to teams renouncing their players. They did this with Malik Monk, but it doesn't look like that guy exists this year, unless we're talking about James Wiseman, who you said, like Malik Monk, might just be a vet minimum player. So that's something maybe the Lakers could look at.
I'll give you a couple guys that, when we were talking earlier, I talked about who can I see potential, you know, there's always some players that get squeezed for the minimum that are like, wow, this guy got the minimum. What the hell?
And okay. Like, Yazi, that is a perfect teaser. Let's take it to break. And when we return, Yazi will give us those names. So we'll pitch it to our sponsors and catch you guys after the turn.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so we are back. Yazzie has names. Yazzie, give us your names for guys who could be squeezed out and may only end up, may be forced to take the minimum, who could be good targets for the Lakers in this free agent market.
So I'll make an exception, minimum two taxpayer mid-level range. So between whatever the minimum is to $5.2 million. One guy, at, I'm just like, what is his market? Like, who really wants, who really is going to be like willing to spend like non-taxpayer money on this guy is Markelle Fultz, who's been really good for the Magic during this contract he's on, but definitely not really in their plans anymore. I mean, maybe they still want to bring him back. Just, they already have so many guards, I don't think, but also he lacks a couple things that, like, he's not a great shooter. He's a pretty solid defender, but because of his, I'm not sure how clean a fit he is on so many teams. I'm a little worried about what his market might be. Another guy, I doubt it gets this low, but Jonas Valanciunas. I'm guessing he'll get the room mid level at the very least. I'm sure, like, if you can get him, a guy like him, or Precious for the rumored level to be your backup center, that's awesome. That's great value. But the taxpayers only $3 million less than that. Maybe there's an opportunity. He's like, okay, you know what? I'll take a little less because I think I'll do really well here. Mm-hmm. Who else? I don't know. You got some you want to throw at me?
I just wanted to say that I like those two options because Markelle Fultz may have to be a back-end option if D'Lo leaves, right? I mean, the Lakers are already getting Chris Paul veteran minimum, but they might need another actual younger point guard who can stem the tide for them in the event that Chris Paul likely has to miss some games. So Markelle Fultz would be interesting, even though he can't shoot. And then obviously Jonas Valanciunas fills a very obvious need for the Lakers as a backup center next to Anthony Davis, as the bruising big that can rebound the ball and fill up space in the paint. So I like that. Before I get to some names that I want to throw out to you, let's talk about some of the Lakers free agents and your thoughts on their market. Because let's say D'Angelo Russell walks. The Lakers do kind of have a built-in replacement for him with regards to the player that they signed on the buyout market in Spencer Dinwiddie. What do you think about his market? And do you think the Lakers at that point, should they just sign him to the taxpayer MLE or...
So, Dinwiddie, honestly, I don't know why I skipped over him. I think he's kind of in that same bracket as Markelle Fultz. Not so much because of the skill or, you know, their fit, but he lost his bird rights when the Raptors waived him. And that, honestly, that's really bad for his upcoming free agency. And he didn't really play, I can't say he did well enough on the Lakers to have improved the situation. So I would guess he probably still gets around the full mid-level, maybe a little less.
Ooh.
In that same vein of some of those guys we've been talking about, it would not it would surprise me, but it wouldn't shock me if he somehow ended up making $5 million or less.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming he'd do that for his hometown Lakers, but who knows? So we'll see. What about Jackson Hayes? It's been rumored that he might be the one guy of the Lakers slew of guys with player options who might opt out. If he opts out, is he just going for another like veteran minimum, but for better opportunity elsewhere or what?
Yeah, probably. I think he's an NBA player. A combination of him needing to develop more, but also find a coach, a situation that can help him really maximize his skill.
You mean a coach like JJ Redick, his former teammate on the Pelicans? We'll see if that has any bearing on him opting back in. And then the Lakers would have his, early bird rights? Non-early bird rights? So we'll see. What about Taurean Prince? If the Lakers want to re-sign him, would they be re-signing him with a taxpayer MLE or just giving him his standard raise off of his previous contract?
I guess it just depends on their hard cap situation. He can get up to like $7 million, I think, something like that, which, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, a little over $5 million. Okay. That's still fine for Taurean Prince. What are other teams offering? Can he get the room mid level somewhere else? Or is he still looking around the tax pyramid level, $5 million a year? Like, I think Lakers will be able to resign him. Just depends on what the rest of the payroll is looking like and if they got another wing that can replace him.
Yeah. And like we outlined in the previous episode, it's going to come down to D'Lo, Max Christie, and then you're looking at Taurean Prince or the taxpayer MLE, right? But not both or even all three of them. Taxpayer MLE, Max Christie, Taurean Prince. The Lakers are going to have to make some hard decisions coming up. So some names that I wanted to throw your way to get your gauge on, how much they could cost would be, what is Kelly Oubre's market? Do you think the Sixers just re-sign him at this point because he actually did pretty well? And even if they don't, do you think he's raised his value enough to full mid-level status?
All right, so here's yet another plug. I had my Sixers video today, and that one was a lot of fun to do. I talked about all the different stuff they could do, what having three max players would look like for the rest of the roster. There's this line of thinking that the Sixers can get Kelly Oubre back for the room mid level, starting at $8 million a year. And I'm honestly starting to think he's going to get more, because the best type of player you can get for your full mid-level exception is a wing like Kelly Oubre, and he's probably one of the more gettable ones. And I think he proved that he can be pretty good on a good team now. And he's just a guy that if you can't get a Caleb Martin, if you can't get a Sadiq Bey, a KCP, if Bruce Brown's unavailable, he's really one of the best options you can get. And I think... I don't think the Lakers are going to be able to sign him.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go under the scenario that the Lakers part ways with D'Angelo Russell. And they let Taurean Prince go, and they find a way to make their books work where they have access to the non-taxpayer MLE. Do you think that guys like Gary Trent, D'Anthony Melton, and like a Buddy Hield fall under that non-taxpayer MLE bracket if the Lakers wanted to pursue those guys?
Yes. So you said...
Gary Trent, yes. D'Anthony Melton, and Buddy Hield.
Yes. Buddy Hield, yeah, most likely, yeah.
Okay. Out of those three, who would you... do you think the Lakers should go after all three, or like who would be your preference if you're the Lakers?
D'Anthony Melton, I think he's really good.
Okay.
That injury screwed him. I think he was looking at getting more. And he's a guy that if someone could get him for the full MLE for 3-4 years, that's a bargain.
Now, do you think the Sixers will let him go, or they'll re-sign him if they strike out on all their other big signings?
It seems like they're not prioritizing him at all. They're not really prioritizing any free agent other than Tyrese Maxey. I think they're just hell-bent on getting the best player they can get. I think they can definitely get Brandon Ingram. I think that's very realistic. But, you know, what if they strike out? Then you kind of have to make sure that some of your guys are available to come back. That includes Melton, Buddy Hield, maybe even Tobias Harris. If things really get really bad for the Sixers, they might have to bring these guys back if they can't get anyone.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, I mean, I would love D'Anthony Melton. Given the clutch ties, it probably will go Gary Trent first, which wouldn't be bad as well for the Lakers. But Gary Trent or D'Anthony Melton, I would love for the Lakers if for some reason they can't make it work with D'Angelo Russell and have access to the non-taxpayer MLE. Like, moving on to the taxpayer MLE section, which the Lakers are more likely to have if they have an exception at all, do you think guys like, so like Chris Dunn, do you think he's worked himself up to the point of being a tax MLE player, or do you think he's still a veteran minimum guy?
Chris Dunn, he's a free agent? I don't know. I just gotta be honest. That's not a guy I have really looked into the market yet. I think he's worth more than minimum. He might end up getting the minimum, but I wouldn't mind getting him a little more.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the Lakers just throwing the taxpayer MLE at him just because of how much he's shown as a point of attack defender with the Utah Jazz. What about Andre Drummond? It seems like teams are trying to go big again based off of this playoffs. It seems like he's somehow reworked his value a little bit. Has he reworked it enough to potentially get another taxpayer MLE deal?
I think he's definitely worth a taxpayer MLE. I'm even thinking about, like, could he get the room mid-level?
Oh, okay.
I could see him getting between that range, 5 to 8 million.
Ah, okay. What about Mason Plumlee?
He made 5 million last year. I'm guessing he doesn't get more than that.
Okay. Let's see. What about Najee Marshall of the New Orleans Pelicans? I don't know if you've ever even thought about Najee Marshall, but he is a free agent, 6'6". Okay.
I think he can get between room mid-level to full mid-level.
Oh, geez. Okay, he's good. Crazy. Okay, that's out of the Lakers' price range.
I love what I see when he plays. I think he's a very underrated guy. If someone gave him the full mid-level, I would understand.
Okay, so probably out of the Lakers' price range. But if somehow he were able to get the taxpayer MLE, do you think Najee Marshall would be a good get for the Lakers?
That'd be a massive steal at the taxpayer MLE.
Oh, okay. There you go. The blessing from Yazzie Gosselin to go and get Najee if we can get him at $5 million. Sorry to go back to the non-taxpayer MLE section, but let's say the Raptors let Bruce Brown off of his team option. Is Bruce Brown a non-taxpayer MLE guy that the Lakers could maybe get at this point, or
yeah,
is he cap space?
He'd probably get that if he opts out.
Okay, so look out for that, because I'm assuming if the Lakers have the non-taxpayer MLE available to them and the Raptors let Bruce Brown off, that Bruce Brown becomes their number one target for that, because that's who they were chasing before they signed Gabe Vincent last summer. What about some of these veteran minimum? Well, I'm not sure if they're veteran minimum guys. You tell me. KJ Martin, Dennis Smith Jr., Goga Batadze. Are these veteran minimum guys, or could you see these guys maybe getting the taxpayer MLE? A lot of people are talking about Goga Batadze as their dark horse center, to the point where I don't think he's as dark horse anymore, but I don't know if you've thought about Goga and what his market could be.
I've not thought about these guys, to be honest.
Okay, that's fine. So maybe they're veteran minimum guys that I wouldn't mind the Lakers taking a stab at, especially Goga Batadze, but KJ Martin for his explosiveness and athleticism, and then Dennis Smith Jr. Honestly, you brought up Markelle Fultz earlier. I'm not sure I might not rather have like Dennis Smith Jr. over Markelle Fultz just because of his athleticism, but who knows, and his defense. So that might be another interesting name for the Lakers to go after. Let's see. I think that may be it for some of the guys that I wanted to throw your way. Is there any sort of free agent out there who you could see taking the non-taxpayer MLE, even though they're probably worth more than that, and they do so just because of situation? Like, is Gordon Hayward at this point, is he even a non-taxpayer MLE guy, or is he more of a taxpayer MLE guy?
I think he's less, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he gets the full mid-level. Just because of this, I feel like this guy always gets paid.
Is there any chance DeMar DeRozan does it for the Lakers?
No. The only guy I could think of is maybe Bojan Bogdanovic if he gets cut.
Oh, by the Knicks?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That would be interesting. I don't think the Lakers, that doesn't really fill a need for them at the non-taxpayer MLE. I think they would be going after more of these like defensive-minded two-way players if they can get them, and less of these shooters like Bojan and Buddy Hield and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that does it for kind of like, I mean, this free agent market, there's not a lot to go off of. The Lakers will have to do a lot of bargain bin hunting, especially if they make a big trade and they're trying to stay under the second apron. And if they bring D'Angelo Russell back, re-sign Max Christie. If all of this stuff happens, Yazzie, the Lakers don't even really have roster spots, I don't think. So we're really talking about one or two roster spots, maybe three. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to try and consolidate some of their picks, whether it's JHS, the number 17th pick, the pick that they use on Bronny James to sort of free up some roster space. But realistically, even on the free agent market, I think we're only talking about two or three players, right? So they're kind of going to have to be creative with how they do this, whether they use the taxpayer MLE or not. Max Christie may be their best signing of the offseason, I think. My last question, and again, sorry to jump around. So let's say the Lakers have the non-taxpayer MLE. Is there any benefit to them splitting up that non-taxpayer MLE into two $6 to $7 million salary slots? Or because of the new CBA and because all the upcoming contracts are so bloated, and because the Lakers are an apron team moving forward who may already find it hard to aggregate salary, does it make more sense to just spend that full $13 million on one player?
It just depends. If you can get two good players for less, then go for it.
That is a smart diplomatic answer, Yazzie. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Once again, please plug all of your socials, including your YouTube page. This offseason is an important one because, again, the new CBA is going into effect. So a lot of fans will want to know what exactly their team has to juggle with and deal with starting July 1st. So please plug all of your socials once again.
Yeah, I mean, so just follow me on Twitter at Yossi Goslin, and all the other stuff, Instagram, TikTok, all that at Yossi Goslin NBA, YouTube as well. Everything. I think that's everything.
Yeah, and check out the description box for all of those as well. It's Yossi, Yossi. Goslin, Gozlan. Yazzie, thank you so much for hopping on again for a two-parter, a mega two-part episode, mega two episodes on the NBA offseason. And yeah, we shall be using you as an invaluable resource as the summer goes along. And we have questions about whether or not the Lakers are hard capped or how much salary they have to send out, et cetera, et cetera. So we will catch you next time, Yazzie.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards. Save big.